This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There are two major competitions gearing up here and around the world. Massachusetts is trying once again to race to the top of educational reform and hoping to win $250 million in federal funding to overhaul failing schools. The state's education commissioner will join us with more on that today. And around the world, but particularly in South Africa, the world's biggest sporting competition starts on Friday as the 2010 World Cup kicks off for the first time ever on African soil. We'll get a sense of soccer excitement both in South Africa and Boston's North End a little later this hour. But first, there's more on the ongoing BP oil spill disaster in the Gulf. On the surface, the evidence is clear. The spill is causing significant environmental damage from Louisiana all the way to Florida. But now, researchers have found oil plumes underwater that might be endangering the ocean below the surface. Here's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Chief Jane Lubchenco just yesterday.
There is definitely oil subsurface. It's in very low concentrations.
Speaking on the NBC Today show this morning, BP COO Doug Suttles says he's pleased the oil is not in higher concentrations.
It may be down to how you define what a plume is here, but basically there, what some people have asked is are there large concentrations of oil under the sea? And those have not been found so far by us or anyone else that's measuring this.
However, Lubchenco also said that tests conducted by the University of South Florida confirmed oil as far as 3,300 feet below the surface and 42 miles northeast of the well site. And some of that research into all that subsurface oil contamination is being done with the aid of technology built right here in Bedford, Massachusetts, by a company called iRobot. Joining us now is iRobot CEO Colin Engel. Colin Engel, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And I have to say that most people will probably know your company for another product that iRobot produces. That, of course, is the Roomba, the vacuum cleaner. And, you know, I might go so as far as to say that a lot of us wish you could build a giant aquatic Roomba, send it down to the Gulf, and maybe suck up all that oil. But let me ask you, what exactly are the specific types of robots that are being used to examine subsurface contamination in the Gulf right now?
Well, we have a very high, long-duration, deep-sea robot called the Sea Glider, which is able to dive down up to 1,000 meters and carry with it some very effective sensors which can determine the concentration and presence of the hydrocarbons, the subsurface oil. And when the Sea Glider surfaces, it's able to transmit back the information. And so over time, you can create an evolving map of the presence of the oil in what concentration and over what region it has spread.
And is the Sea Glider, is that one that you've built prior for military purposes, or is it used almost exclusively for scientific research?
It has applications broadly. It's a platform that can carry a variety of sensors and help characterize our oceans, and they're both governmental and scientific civilian uses for that type of data.
Mm-hmm. And Colin Engel, let me ask you, did the University of South Florida, did they come to you and say the Sea Glider is the perfect piece of technology we need to look underwater, or did they already have the robot? I'm just wondering how it ended up there in the Gulf.
Well, we knew of the challenge, and we recognize that the Sea Glider has some unique properties that can make it an ideal platform. One of the things that it allows, because it operates autonomously, that's without a human crew either directly operating it on board or requiring there to be a ship out at sea monitoring its progress, it's a very low-cost device, and it can operate down at the depths where these plumes have developed, which again is unusual for an underwater vehicle, and so we are desperately hoping that the flow of oil will be stopped as soon as possible. The ramifications and the impact of the oil that's been released is going to be with us for quite some time, and so we want to continuously monitor what's going on. And the Sea Glider is kind of a unique robot in that it doesn't have a propeller. It flies through the ocean, kind of like a glider. Your more commonly understood airplane version of the glider might, when it's released from at altitude, float down and moves forward as it travels. But what the sea glider can then do when it reaches near the bottom of the ocean, go from slightly negatively buoyant, that means sinking through the water, to slightly positively buoyant and fly up, something that your typical plane can't do. And thus, by falling down, gliding down, and then gliding back up, can travel tremendous distances with almost no energy consumed at all. That's what.
So how many researchers right now are using iRobot's Sea Glider or similar technology for these kind of underwater chemical explorations?
Well, the data being gathered by the Sea Glider is being shared throughout the scientific community. Dr. Vernon Asper from University of South Mississippi is one researcher. Dr. Craig Lee from the University of Washington's Applied Physics Lab is also looking at it. Samantha Joyce. There's a number of different researchers who have the data, and it's being openly shared amongst the interested parties.
But is it, I'm sorry, Mr. Engel, to interrupt, but so is there only one actual Sea Glider robot? Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, we have three currently deployed down there. One is our own Sea Glider, which we sent down and made available to the researchers. And the U.S. Navy also has two Sea Gliders down operating on to help characterize what's going on. So there are three of our robots down on the job.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the U.S. Navy, and I know that iRobot has created other technologies for the United States military, also a lot of consumer technology, as I mentioned at the top, that people mm-hmm. may be more familiar with. And now we see in the form of the Sea Glider, your robots doing all this very cutting-edge and absolutely essential underwater research. So what do you think is next for iRobot or even the Sea Glider in terms of the things that it and the company wants to do?
Well, our mission is to create these robot devices that can go into dangerous, dirty, difficult to get to places, carry with it sensors, and allow us to better understand or characterize the world we live in. It's interesting that our robots, the PackBot robot, which we sent over to Afghanistan originally to help explore the caves and then sent over to Iraq to help our soldiers defuse the roadside bombs we all read about. That was another situation where there was a big problem and we had robots and we found a way to get them to the people that needed them to help accomplish some very, very important work. So I think that the research arm of iRobot is you know, we're constantly trying to figure out and develop new platforms that can go in more and more different locations. Mm-hmm. And when the need arises, you know, we've been happy to do what's necessary. We've been working on robots that can go into rivers, which is a very difficult place for a traditional underwater vehicle to get to. And we've actually had programs working on robots that can change shape, so they can even go into under some very small, through some very tight spaces or small openings.
Well, sorry about that, Mr. Engel, but I just wanted to say thank you very much for joining us today. That's Colin Engel. He's CEO of the Bedford, Massachusetts-based iRobot. They're doing a lot of great work right now with the Sea Glider down in the Gulf. Colin Engel, thank you so much.
You bet.